97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
More listener appreciation party tickets to give away. So at 8:10, 8:10 exactly, caller 20 will win two tickets to the listener appreciation party. If you want to meet us or anyone involved with the station, that day will be your day. ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map will, in conjunction with Big City Wings and Coors Light, are giving you that opportunity. It'll be at the home of Gal Media Thursday, August 15th at 6:30 p.m. So like I said, caller 20 at 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets. Thanks to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell us your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Get an instant offer for your vehicle in just 60 seconds. Invite only. You must be 21 to attend. Caller 20 at 8:10. Now back to John Hill.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I am in Chicago heading to Green Bay next week, and they're back in studio. Lance returns on Monday right here on ESPN 97.5. Are y'all worried? I mean, Hector Rondon, what a mess. I mean, by the way, Dell, you've got to play Biagini. I love this guy. His soundbite about going into space now was fantastic. And, you know, you were talking about, you came in and said, well, this guy, he doesn't, apparently he didn't know that there's every other team is in the U.S. He knows.
I
like this guy already.
He's he's clearly in on everything.
Yeah, he's one of us, dude. He is awesome.
Play that for people that didn't hear it, Dell. Let's find that and play that for him. But man, he's going to have to play a role. Sanchez, I guess he moves into. I don't know. We'll find out how they're going to use everybody that they picked up. But like we said, Urquidy and Miles Straw were both sent down, and Rondon is just in a bad place. And again, he was not in a good place at the end of last year. Was kept off the divisional round roster. Didn't like it. Didn't go out for the introductions before game one. Was pissed. He got into. Got back on the roster for the ALCS, and he just has. I mean, he's just not good right now, and that's a problem. When you've got to rely on Davinsky, and you're saying, okay, Will Harris. It was nice to see Joe Smith come in and clean up his stuff last night. That was nice, but with the injury to Presley, with Osuna being shaky. Man, thank God you got Grant. I mean, now, and AJ's got another guy that he's, you know, going to go into the seventh inning with. You know, obviously it's taken him a while to get used to Miley. He let Miley go into the ninth inning, and that was a big mistake. He got a little too comfortable with Miley. But he's got another guy now in Greinke that he's going to think twice before he goes out. If he gets into the sixth inning and he gets into some trouble, Greinke's going to look at him and go back. Go sit back down because I'm going to finish this right here.
Yeah, it is going to be fun to see how that plays out for sure. Like, at what point, because when do you start managing it like a playoff game, right? Like how when do you start managing it to the point where, okay, we're going to have to let him go a little bit deeper here because for whatever reason, our bullpen, though it's considered still one of the best bullpens, which is wild because of the numbers, how many guys do you trust in there?
I know the numbers lie.
I know. That's why I said it, but it's still considered one of the best bullpens.
No,
they've got great pieces in there, but how reliable are they truly?
Yeah, no. Well, let me ask you this question. You're in the sixth inning. Greinke's got two on and one out. Are you going to get Davinsky?
Nope.
Are you going to get Will Harris? Are you going to get Rondon? Are you going to get... who else is left? I mean, because Josh James is hurt, and Presley's hurt. Who are you going to get? Because I'm staying with Greinke. You know what, Greinke, get yourself out of this.
Yeah,
you started this mess. Get yourself out of it.
You made a mess all over the field. Now clean it up.
Right. Now, if I want a joke, if I want a laugh, I'm going to go get Biagini. Because this guy met the media, found out he was going to Houston, which he thought he was going to, he's going into space. Here is he so now just he was in Toronto. So he was representing an entire country and he thought he could get traded to a team in the US, which was a possibility, seeing as how every team other than Toronto is in the U.S. Here's Biagini.
I was wondering that if I was going to get traded, if it would end up being a team in the U.S. And it turned out to be. It was kind of crazy. So that was cool. But I do really enjoy Toronto, and the playing for a whole country was really cool. And I hope that I contributed positively in some way. I guess your keyboards will be the ones that decide on that, I guess. But, it's, it's fun. I'm excited to go to space. Maybe the gravity will help, the spin on my breaking ball or something like that. So that's cool.
My dude sounds like a open mic guy who just get up there and he's just like, man, one of these jokes has to land. One call. We got to get one hit. Come on.
Right. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
Are you going to Houston? You going into outer space?
How about this weather, huh? I heard it's kind of hot over there. Yeah, and then, the heat, it makes it maybe it's a little hot.
I'm all about his stand-up routine, though, in the post-game.
Yeah, it's kind of dry. It's we like gotta Napoleon get this Dynamite. Guy. Yeah.
We got to get this guy on a regular basis on the show.
He is one of
perfect.
Us.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He is.
He's not funny.
I love that guy. No. He's just dry. It doesn't mean you're funny.
Yeah. What about right. Colin McHugh? We haven't talked about him. Is there any trust in there?
None. I don't know if you saw him grooving him in Cleveland the other night.
Yeah.
Holy crap. They were crushing him. Don't know. No.
Nothing?
Nothing? No, really. I mean, he's scuffling a bit now, okay?
Man, this could be so dangerous. I mean, expectations of the starting pitcher is like, hey, we're going to need you to go at least seven, please.
So you've had, and I get it, but you've had all of these injuries and you've had all this stuff going on, and you were down two starters. You know, Colin McHugh used to start. You're going to – how's this going to – no, not going to do that.
No.
His ERA is up to 5.7. His last three outings, two-thirds and earned run. One inning and earned run. One inning, four earned runs. That's really, really horrible.
Okay, he earned it.
Yeah, he earned it. But he hasn't – he really hasn't been good really – since his second start of the year.
Yeah.
He had a 9-1 win on April 16th. That was his fourth start. It was 3-1, and it really crashed after that. I mean, horrifically. So something is up with him. But you know what? Since he's gone to the bullpen, Brent Strom doesn't have any time for him, so...
Yeah, that's why this whole thing like with Biagini is that you right. actually won't get spin rate stuff because you're in the bullpen. So
yeah, we don't pay attention.
Just find a YouTube tutorial and figure it out, bro.
Yeah, Grinky's here. I'm busy. Yeah. Okay.
And it's Sanchez.
Yeah, I'm going to fix Sanchez. That's another guy that needs fixing with his 6.07 earned run average.
Gosh, how must that feel fixing. if you're a professional athlete and when everyone's talking about your trade, they're like, yeah, this is, who he is? This is the Astros' new science project. They're going to figure this out. They're going to get him back to the old ways. You're a science project. We don't like what you actually are. They're going to have to work on you a little bit. We're going to figure this out.
We're going to fix you.
Yeah, you're a science project. That was like the number one consensus about him. Like, what? That's never good if you're describing a guy as a science project.
No. No, your carburetor needs fixing. Whatever it is, you are somebody that we're going to have to work. The Brent Strom. Now, Brent Strom's really perfect for that, though. This dude's going to turn into, I have a feeling, we're going to be calling him Cy Sanchez by the time this is all done.
Wow.
Right?
Cy Sanchez. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Will his ERA at the end of the season be under 5?
Yes.
That's going to be hard. He's already got 23 starts, so he's got a lot. This isn't like Altuve, who didn't have a lot of at-bats and could raise his average right away. This is going to be a little bit tougher.
Okay. How about this? Let's go wins. He'll have, let's say, 8 to 10 starts, roughly. Let's say if they use him as a number 5.
Okay.
He got approximately 8 to 10 starts left.
Okay.
All right. Will he – I'm going to set the line at 4.5. Over?
That's pretty good. I'm going to go right. I think right at 4 if he wins 4 games. Now he's got a good offense, so he could win some games just by.
Yeah. And he has a good defense, too.
Yeah.
Can't forget
that. That's true. I'll go over.
Okay.
If he does. Now, if he does win 5 games of the 8, let's say he starts, then his ERA probably will be down around 5 in the neighborhood.
What about 5.5?
Which means he'll be, pitching well.
I'm going to put the number at 5.5 now.
That's a big number. And you're talking about Greinke? I'm going to go, yeah. You're talking about Sanchez?
No, Greinke's number would be, let's go Greinke at 7.5.
No, stop.
Verlander was 9-1.
Yeah, I know, but
okay,
well, not everybody's Verlander. I don't know if you heard, they're different guys.
No, there's some expectations now. Don't lose a game.
Okay. Well, when was the last time Cole lost?
Let's see. It's been...
Go figure that one out while I'm talking about the Sugar Land Skeeters.
They won the first half. Yeah.
Yeah. They got a real big game tonight. Every night's a big night. And they got all kinds of stuff. Every day, it's like, Friday night is fireworks. You've got, Thirsty Thursday. You've got kids out at the ballpark. Splash Days. You got unbelievable stuff going on all the time. And the best seats in the house are $14. Okay, that's unbelievable. That's unbeatable. Especially the talent level that they have, the brand of baseball that they're playing. But then the park, you're going to see them with all the Major League Baseball rule changes. It'll be weird to see, it's ball 2 and it's in the dirt and it goes back to the backstop and the batter takes off for first base. They're trying it to see whether or not that works. It's weird, but it might work. And then you got the umpires not calling balls and strikes. You can see how that works. All these different Major League Baseball rules that possibly will be implemented, they're working out in the league, and you can see it firsthand. All right, at Constellation Field, beautiful, quaint little ballpark. It's got all the amenities for kids, and you're very kid-friendly. Lots of stuff for kids to do. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com for tickets, information. If you've got groups, little league teams, birthday parties, whatever it is, Constellation Field has everything to offer. Picnic area with buffet, party suites, gourmet food, much more. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Are you buying this article on MLB.com? Chris Landers says the Astros are the new Yankees.
Yes.
They're the villains. They're the team that people can hate.
Absolutely, I'm buying this. And we should be celebrating that. That's why I said yesterday, this is that move, bringing Greinke in here was old school Yankees.
It is old school
Yankees. Like the 2000 Yankees, like, oh, yeah, I want it. I'm going to go get them. What? We'll worry about the money stuff later. We'll worry about that stuff later. You know what? The number one thing is winning titles. We'll worry about the money stuff later. When the time is right, we will worry about George Springer. We'll worry about Correa, Gerrit Cole, all these guys. Right now, focus on one thing, winning.
I don't know, but I think they're still lovable. To me, they are.
Yeah, to us.
We got a little Jose Altuve. How could you not love Jose Altuve?
They're very lovable to us. But Justin, if they win Verlander, a championship, they win a championship this year, John, it's going to be Warriors-like hate by the rest of the league.
You know what? I always say, screw the rest of the league.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about the rest of the league.
Exactly.
That's what the Yankee fans said to the rest of the league. We don't care that you hate us. So, yeah, they would be the Yankees because they've acquired two aces in the last two trade deadlines. And if they win a second title in 3 years, you would be very Yankees-like. And you would say, screw you, we win. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the league would be like, you guys suck.
You know what the Yankees fans are saying? They're like, A-Rod's a great guy. He is a misunderstood guy who would never cheat the game.
They never said that. They hated him.
Yeah, they hated him so much. Roger. Oh. Hey, Roger. You know what? He risked everything. All right? And we love him for that.
How cool is it, I mean, honestly, that we have a team that people I've seen multiple places, the Warriors, comparing them to the Yankees. You know, and the way that they go about it, that Houston has a team that's like that everybody looks to and says, wow, this is a great, great team. That's unbelievable to me.
It's amazing.
Because it's never been. When the Rockets won their championships, they came out, you know, Michael's not here, blah, blah, blah. And then they came out of the sixth seed. It wasn't like they dominated anything. So that this is unbelievable that in 5 short years from 100 lost seasons, that this team is the best and the shining star of Major League Baseball in the sports world. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the favorites. It feels good, doesn't it? Like to have a team where you are confident enough that, this is what? Yeah, this is our year. I'm not afraid of that.
And it was funny. Lance Berkman in studio, he couldn't have been more dead on. I said, how disappointing is it going to be, if they don't do anything at the trade deadline? And he goes, they're good enough. They're good enough right now. And oh, by the way, all those other teams, the Yankees haven't won since 2009. No guy on that team has won a title. The Red Sox have, but they might not even make the playoffs. The Dodgers, they can't win. They've been to the World Series last, and they can't win. They haven't won a World Series since 1988. So there's doubt in their mind. You know what there's not in the Astros' minds? Whether or not they can do it, because they know they can do it.
Yeah.
They know we can do this. We know how to do it.
And then you throw Greinke on top of that. It's like, how are we going to do it? It's not that we're going to do it. It's how are we going to do it? Is it going to be a dominant run? It's going to be kind of edgy. What happens? They're going to win the title. They're winning the World Series. There's a confidence around this team now that you should be confident. That, yes, you should be this egotistical. You should have this arrogance about you because you are the favorites. You have the pieces.
Is it – well, somebody on Twitter, now, everybody, can you calm down? Because it just seems like we're just setting ourselves up for failure. No.
Stop thinking that. That's old school.
If they lose, if they lose, they lose. Oh well. But if they win, do it with. I mean, is there anybody that plays? And I could see. Bregman is the quintessential villain for all the other teams. Little guy, chip on his shoulder, the squatting and looking at the camera. Said, hey, we want Boston. Come on. But no, there's no team that we'd rather beat than Boston. To all the Tyler Bauer stuff. I mean, he is a guy that you're just, if you're the other team, you're like, screw that little bleep.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then look at this giant monster Cole on the mound. And oh, by the way, and you got Justin Verlander. And now you got Greinke. And your little fella out there is the MVP. Now you're done. Now you got a monster at DH. Holy crap.
Yeah. And again, when they win the World Series, I'm telling you, and this is going to be awesome because Astros fans are going to be in the driver's seat, we're going to be unbearable.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome to be in that position. And that's what you want as a fan. You want to be the Patriots fans, right? Like you want to be the unbearable fans. I'll take that any day as opposed to watching a loser team and stressing out about like, oh my God, are they going to make the playoffs? No. It's when are they going to make the World Series? How's the rotation going to line up for the World Series? I'm not worried about this boring ass AL stuff.
I just don't know how we're going to act. Okay. I know some confidence. I get that. But, like, if this team, because it has the potential, could win 3 in 5 years or something like that, I mean, it would be like, yeah, we're the Patriots. Mm-hmm. How's that taste?
Yeah.
Everybody else? Because we don't know. We have no idea what that's like.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
827 ESPN 97.5. Catching up on breaks here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Come in and brag about your team. Let's go. Oops. You want me to talk about urine, don't you?
Well, not...
That's not what I said.
If it gets on the carpet, yes.
Well, but yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What about urine? Have you guys ever thought about urine?
Not as much as you talk about it.
You don't think about urine all that much.
I do.
What if you've got a dog? Okay, do you guys have a dog? Yeah, you got Bane.
Yeah.
Right? What if Bane comes home and just lifts his leg and just pees right all over your carpet and your TV and everything and just says, yeah, come on, what?
I did it. What? You know what I said? I said, aw.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. Oh, yeah. Stop that.
You want baby Trickster going around? What if she's eating on the floor?
Yeah,
good. She's eating on the floor in Bane's urine.
Yeah. Go time out. Eating on the floor. Making a mess. Bane does it. Aw.
Aw. Cute. Well, guess what? Stop being filth and flarn and clean the urine out of your carpets. Okay? I mean, this is what they do. What about wine stains? What if baby Trickster's drinking a glass of wine? Spills it all over.
Sloppy drunk already. My daughter's a sloppy drunk.
Okay. That's a problem. Hey, you think Frankie hasn't spilled some wine? Yeah, it happens. Okay, and it'll happen with baby Trickster too. So what I need you to do, if you have any of these issues, or if you just haven't cleaned your carpet in how long, oopssteam.com. Kills fungi and germs, rid of mold spores, bacteria. If you've got young kids, you need to do this. If you haven't done it in a while, you need to. And any kind of stain. You say, well, they probably can't get that out. Well, let them see. Because they'll talk to you about it, and you're going to have a guaranteed work with trained and background screened professionals, employees, not contractors. Warm, soapy water doesn't get this job done. 250 degree steam does. It sanitizes. So if you've got gross carpets, and chances are you do, you're probably gross, all you got to do is go to oopssteam.com. Oopssteam.com, 30-day service warranty. I want you to be completely satisfied every time. If you're not, Oops Steam Clean will come back to your home and re-clean said areas, items, no extra charge. Oopssteam.com, 281-822-0561. Tell them you heard it right here.
First, Garrett pitching, with good, not great stuff, and he had to battle a little bit. It's hard to say a 7-inning outing with one run and only a few hits is not at his best. But I thought he did a good job, kind of navigating the game and fighting himself a little bit. But it just shows how really good he is. I think our defense was excellent. You know, we made some really big plays, especially early in the game.
There's AJ talking about Garrett Cole. I was just watching the soundbite. They've got a soundbite in this story on MLB.com. The Astros aren't just here to win. They're here to be the new Yankees, the team you love to hate. And there's a great soundbite of Garrett Cole after the Zach Greinke addition. And he's talking about, how AJ walked in with a big-ass smile on his face and how awesome it is, and it's World Series or bust. And but that was how it was before Greinke arrived. This is this team; they're not interested in regular season. This is World Series or bust. And then he, you know, he started to get a little philosophical, and you know, he said, "I'd just never been a part of this. I mean, we made some acquisitions in Pittsburgh, but to, you know, get two Hall of Famers in 3 years." In the same rotation, this place, you know, Jim and Jeff and Brandon and you know, all the guys, what they're doing is just unbelievable. And I know I've said in the past, you know, I mean, it just seems like he's in a great place here. And Manny had said something on Twitter about, you know, I just think he likes it here. I don't know what he likes or dislikes. I have no idea. I haven't talked to Garrett Cole about it. I do know he's a free agent, and I do know he's got Scott Boras, and I do know that teams are going to want him, and they're going to pay top. He is going to be the top free agent out there because he's top of the rotation guy. He's ace material. He will be an ace in, you know, his next team. He'll be their best pitcher. He's not here because he's got Verlander and possibly not even the second with Greinke here. But he is going to be the best pitcher on a team, and so he's going to get huge money. Yep. With the addition of Greinke, which is $23 million a year, I don't know that the Astros can possibly afford. I say that, and yet Jim Crane continues to amaze. It's deal after deal after deal. He just says, screw it, we'll pay him. And, you know, money be damned, we're going to be the best we can possibly be. I think that he's a $30 million a year guy. Verlander's at 33. Greinke's at 35. This is a $30 million a year guy. Boras is going to ask for at least 30.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you possibly pay $100 million to three guys.
I wonder what's going to happen. You know, all the stuff that you've mentioned, the way he talks about this team, the way the broadcast yesterday, I don't know if you heard them talk about how Garrett Cole coming over here takes so much pressure off of him also because you're not the guy. You were the guy, right? And you were the guy. You had all the pressure and you had to deal with the media. You had to talk about all that stuff. But when you're here and there's already a Verlander and you just have to do your job at the number two spot. Yes, you have number one stuff. Yes, you are dominant. But the pressure of not being the ace, and that's going to be with Greinke as well. Like, he comes in and he's probably number three, right? You just have to do your job. There's no pressure of carrying an entire rotation on your back. I wonder how much of that also plays into it, where I get it. The money is important. The $30 million is important. But I'm curious to see, like, if they win this World Series, when they do win the World Series, is he going to say, hey, this window is still open for another 2 years with this rotation? Like, we have two more guaranteed years of being probably the most dominant rotation. I'm going to go ahead and just do a 2-year deal. I don't have to do a huge deal. And I wonder if Jim Crane goes, okay, you know what? For two more years, we're going to pay out the ass. That's fine. But that means we more than likely are going to win another World Series. That would be three World Series in the last 5 years then.
MLB guys don't take
pay cuts like NBA guys.
No, NBA I don't think Scott Boras will let him do it. I don't think there's any chance. You
but
know
if
what?
Garrett
and
Cole
you,
wants that.
I got to get mines. I've got this is the ultimate window, and he may be more than a $30 million a year guy. It could be 7-2-10. You can't pass that up to say, well, I want to go a couple of years.
Fair.
With you just can't.
Fair,
just
but what can't. If you go to you take a 2-year deal and get your money? They go, you know what? Fine, we'll pay you 30 for 2 years. We'll just do it, right? We want to keep this window open. We want to win titles. That's it. And then he'll be 31 at the end of that deal. 32 going into 32. You can still get a big deal in baseball at 32 as a pitcher.
Yeah, no chance. I'm just telling you. You can offer him 260. But if somebody else comes with 7-2-10, you have zero chance. And I can see the Angels are, to me, it's almost a lock. The Angels will offer 5-150 or 7-2-10. They will. They've got to have that top of the rotation guy. He's from there, all that stuff. So, I mean, I see your point. I want to win titles, but then but 210 staring you in the face. Nah.
Remind just off the top of our heads, what was the last big starting pitcher contract that was given out?
Was Greinke 205.
205. How long ago was that? His new deal. He's in the third year of this deal, right? Or second year.
He signed a 6-year 206.5. 6 years, 206.5. So that's 35. Yeah. 30, he went 31, 31, 31, 31, 5, 32. No. Yeah. And oh, no, that's his base. His payroll was 34, 34, 34, 34, 5, 35, 35. So he's averaging about 34 something. Yeah. I mean,
I'm just looking at like, don't worry about, yeah, just in general, getting a starting pitcher from another team, what was the last big deal? And the reason I'm asking this is we saw in this offseason as well, like the baseball teams are smarter about huge deals, even with starting pitchers, I feel like. Like if it's your guy, yes, you're going to get him paid and that's just the value. That's how much it is. But what was the last big one, like trying to acquire somebody from another team because or from a free agency standpoint?
Because
Scherzer and Strasburg were, I mean,
they were on the same
team. Yeah, they were on the same team and they were just, you know, extending them out.
Greinke, Kershaw, same team. Price moved for 31, or was he already with the Boston when he got that? Verlander, no, he was with the same. Felix Hernandez, Lester,
not, yeah.
Lester, 27.5. I mean, I don't know that matters, dude. I think that, you know, if Zach Greinke, I mean, all these guys signed with their same team.
Yeah.
But why if the, you know, if the Astros didn't get Greinke, I could certainly see them saying, okay, we're going to give you this. Mm-hmm. But I think they saw the writing on the wall that he was might be, sure. You know, we can't risk that he might stay here.
Yeah. And I'm just asking in general, like is a huge deal in baseball. We saw it with position players. It comes down to the wire, and even a guy like Bryce Harper, you're like, ooh, I don't know, Machado, like we got to be really careful about this. Our team's getting smarter, right? As more GMs start leaning towards that analytical stuff and they start valuing different things and they start valuing the actual contracts more and what you can do with the free money. Is the starting pitcher market changing as well?
No.
No?
No, because look at, I mean, just because they signed with their same teams, but, you know, look at the numbers. Strasburg's averaging 38, Scherzer 37, 34. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you're a GM, I mean, this ain't like Pujols giving 10 years, 300. I don't think it's the same thing. Would you pay Garrett Cole 35?
Man, I don't think I would.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
Well, if Scherzer and Strasburg and Greinke and Kershaw, well, Kershaw's not even getting that. Kershaw's got 31. I mean,
I'm paying him if I'm in a position that I have other really good guys around, because one guy isn't making a difference in baseball, especially a starting pitcher. Like what? He's not making me a contender. Now, if there's a good staff around him or a decent staff and he's the missing piece, I'm thinking about it. Absolutely. But
well,
if I'm just like, let's say, yeah.
Well, the highest paid pitchers are Strasburg and Scherzer and Greinke and Kershaw and Price and Verlander, and then it's Felix Hernandez. He's not making a difference. But every one of those guys is on winning organizations.
There's six. So Washington's six games above 500 might miss the playoffs. What have they done with those guys?
Granted, but they've made the playoffs with those guys. Unfortunately, they've not done anything.
You've got two elite pitchers, if not two of the best in the game, right? And what have you done?
But why have they? Well, they've choked in the postseason because it's what Washington does. And you know, until the Capitals won, they hadn't won anything in how long. But you know why they're always a contender and always thought because of Strasburg and Scherzer. Now Strasburg's been injury prone, but I'm not hesitant to give Scherzer 37, and I'm not going to be hesitant to give Cole 35. I'm not. I'm telling you,
I think
his contract this offseason is going to be 33 to 35, 36 in there.
Yeah. And
they may say, no, you know what? we're going to make you the highest paid pitcher in the game, because that's what happens whenever you're up.
And great, you're going to go to the Angels and you're going to miss the playoffs.
I don't know. Have I think fun. He could. You know what? That guy at the top. It's not like there's a salary cap that he's taking up, because mm-hmm. They can pay other guys. I think he makes the Angels a hell of a lot better. That's not a bad baseball team.
Hell of a lot better, and they're still going to miss the playoffs. Well, watch.
I'll tell you what. That division is a lot tougher mm-hmm. with the Astros, the A's, and them in it.
They're 56 and 54 right now. Of course, with Gerrit Cole, yes, they're going to have a lot more wins.
When was the last time Gerrit Cole lost?
It was July 12th, I believe. 12th or 17th. One of those. Let me see. I have it here.
May 22nd.
It was against the Rangers, right? No, he lost. Yeah, he lost to the Rangers, didn't he? Or he lost to the Angels. Angels, July 15th.
Oh, he lost to the Angels.
Yeah,
okay.
Catch that.
Before that was May 22nd.
Right, I'm looking. Yeah, I believe so. No. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What do you have?
I had May 22nd.
May 22nd? I'm sorry. You know what? It defaulted back to Colin McHugh. That's why.
Colin McHugh? What the bleep?
Why is it? You're comparing Colin McHugh?
Like, I had May 22nd, his last loss. What do you have?
I have a frozen computer, so we'll go.
What's wrong? I mean, see, and what?
Budget cuts, okay?
No, are you? I mean, aren't you Pakistani?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that have to do with my?
I'm just asking. I thought you were Pakistani, and here we are with computer freezing. Okay. It's May 22nd, the last time Gerrit Cole lost. How's that taste, everybody? Okay.
It's July 12th. He lost 8-9 to the Rangers. Did he catch the L there?
They lost. He didn't lose.
Okay, he didn't catch the L. Okay.
No.
Okay.
The last time he lost was May 22nd.
Okay.
Get your computer straight, Mr. Computer.
Is it any shock that Raheel's computer isn't straight?
Whoa. Dell. My computer's on a spectrum.
That doesn't make it straight. It means it's on a spectrum.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We've had some stuff, huh? We had Daryl Morey, and by the way, I'm not going to crush Daryl Morey. He's got a new look. He's rebranded. Looks sharp. He was on with Rich Eisen. He's making another world tour for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's to debut the sexy beard.
Well, I don't think he's debuting his sexy beard.
So he works in the NBA. He has PJ Tucker on the team. He has Russell Westbrook on the team. It's a fashion forward team. And when you have a new look, you debut it. So you got to go make the world tour.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I think you could just have your look and have your wife enjoy it, and that's all. But okay, I guess he could do that.
Yeah, high fashion Daryl.
Well, yeah, okay. I think just, you know, I don't know. I think Daryl, I don't know. I don't think there's even in there. And he's doing this world tour when there wasn't devastating Chris Paul news, which he had to do his world tour to straighten everybody up, that there was absolutely nothing wrong between Chris Paul and James Harden.
Okay.
And he, you know, there's been no reason really to do a world tour and to respond to all of the criticisms that are, because there's been no criticisms of the Rockets organization. So
yeah, maybe it's just a Rich Eisen thing. Maybe they just wanted to get him on.
Well, no, he was on Dan Patrick the day before.
Aren't they right next to each other?
I don't know. Are they?
Yeah, I believe so. They're like, they always have the same guess.
Oh, they do?
I believe so. I could be wrong.
Oh, I didn't know that. So apparently, Dell, why don't you, you guys know, I've lost it. The David Griffin, LeBron James story. Apparently, David Griffin came out flailing and throwing some shots at LeBron, and LeBron doesn't want any of this.
No, LeBron's tweeting now like it's time now, man. It's so David Griffin did. He was on Woj's podcast, and that's where they hit on all sorts of stuff. From LeBron James to the culture that happens when LeBron gets to your team, the expectations change from not only the fans, the owner, all that stuff. And that made LeBron go, oh, it's on now. Like, all right, dude, if that's your motivation, you're the greatest right now. That's fine. Cool. But it was a really fascinating thing. Like, from David Griffin's standpoint, he was so open about everything. Lose John?
No.
Oh, right,
my
here.
Bad. Oh, I thought you were going to chime in there.
I wasn't going to chime. I'm waiting for you to tell the story, what he said.
Yeah, he's basically said, I'm not pals with LeBron, okay? And then around, so everything here, I'm going to sum it up because there's a lot of it. From the championship moment, like when he got there, it was so different because the expectations change and it like sucks the fun out of it because there is no journey anymore. The journey is you're getting to the champ. Like, you have to win this championship. That is it. And everything that happens, like from free agent moves to every loss, it just sucks the fun out of it because of that expectation. And he didn't specifically say LeBron. You know, they're not pals anymore, but he said it was because of the atmosphere that changes when LeBron joins your team.
Yeah. Well, he did say that he lost his – he wept after they beat Golden State. He went into some Oakland closet and he wept. He said it just took everything out of him. He said, I didn't watch the league and I didn't love the game anymore. I was so fixated on outcome that I just totally lost my joy. He has rediscovered his passion for the game now, though. But he also said that LeBron is not the same guy either, that he's lost his passion for the game. That it's not just about winning anymore. Yeah. It's about LeBron's brand.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
LeBron is like, and then he had to backtrack and say, well, they took it out of context. And now LeBron's side says, well, what is, okay, give us that context then. What is it? What was lost in the translation?
Yeah, that follow-up is from Dave McMenamin, who's on ESPN, covered the Cavs during that time frame. Apparently LeBron's camp reached out and said, I thought we were good. What happened? And they thought they were good because when David Griffin was making all the moves, LeBron's best friend Dwayne Wade was tweeting about how this is David Griffin should have been in the league. What's the deal? This is the type of guy he is. So clearly there's a closeness there. And then the camp reached out and said, "What are you doing?" Griffin said, "Well, there's some context that's missing." And yeah, David McMenamin said, "All right, if there's context missing, give everyone the context on record." So,
what is that context?
Yeah, exactly. What is it? But LeBron tweets out about how it's over. It's different now. So LeBron clearly has heard the message, and we'll see how he treats the regular season. But Griffin pretty much said, "Hey, man, it's not fun." And if you look around the league, LeBron didn't end his tenure in Miami all that well, and Pat Riley talked about how we weren't going to let a certain element infiltrate the organization, and that element was LeBron's camp. And if, when you bring on LeBron, you have to bring on everybody.
Yeah.
He had four years of it and said, that's enough. We're not doing that.
Here's the quote that like really stood out, and it makes so much sense, right? Like, we always knew it. You could see guys physically – like, Kevin Love aged 10 years in one season because of LeBron, it felt like. He looks totally different. Kyrie was like, I just won a championship, and I'm out. I'm good. I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
And the quote is, the reason is, and this is from David Griffin, LeBron is getting all the credit and none of the blame. And that's not fun for people. They don't like being part of that world.
Yeah. And here, he also said this. After they beat the 73-9 Warriors in the finals, the following season brought that fantasy summer crashing back to reality. James' contagious hunger to deliver a championship for Northeast Ohio dissipated. There wasn't a lot else for him, Griffin says. I don't think he's the same animal anymore about winning. And then the writer says, many in the NBA now suggest James harbors two priorities, enduring to team with his eldest son, Bronny, and one day owning a franchise. Those are his two loves. And, you know, that whole winning thing is not a huge priority for him. And now, and LeBron's camp is none too pleased about that. But, oh, well. Oh, yep. You know, and here's the thing is, you know, LeBron, you know, obviously he wins and he championships and all of that stuff. But there was a poisonous atmosphere last year in L.A.
Yeah.
Because
everybody's available for trade. You don't know what's going to happen. There was a story about how anytime his agent would – Rich would be there. No, not Rich. Sorry. Who's his agent? Why am I blanking on his name?
Rich Paul.
Yeah, Rich Paul. Anytime Rich was in the Lakers practice facility, all the guys were like, oh, my God, now I'm about to get traded. Like, he's here to make a move. He's here to get the front office to deal us. And there would always be this wary moment like, oh, God, no, not Rich Paul. It's not like the culture changes with LeBron.
It changes.
A huge change.
Yeah, I mean, and it is telling that Kyrie, I got to get out of here. It is telling that, you know, all those guys were thrilled to be away from him after last year. Now, last year's different because they didn't win, and so you could see where it would be it would be poisonous because if you got LeBron and you're not winning, that it's untenable situation. But you know, David Griffin, hey, he doesn't have the same drive to win anymore. Wow, that's pretty telling. Yeah. And he didn't have that same drive the year after. And David Griffin said, there was somebody better than me keeping them on task after we won. I did a bleepy job of bringing enough urgency to the next year.
Now,
I don't believe that. I don't think David Griffin could have done anything. It's whether or not LeBron came back and wanted to win.
Now, LeBron's defenders would say, look at what he did in game one of that playoff against the Warriors. What do you mean he wasn't looking to win? If you're a detractor, you'd say, did you watch him play defense throughout those last two seasons?
Yeah.
He had little interest in doing much of it until the playoffs. So there goes both ways. He was historically good, I think, in the 2017-18 season playoffs. So people say clearly he wanted to win. But leading up to that point, LeBron was I'm playing one half of the court type of guy.
Yeah. Enough is enough, John. The throne has been played with too much. Too much. And I ain't for horseplay. Ether coming soon.
That's LeBron's response. Mm. You know what LeBron might need or David Griffin might need if he gets run out of?
Sell their car?
Yeah, they might need to sell their car, particularly if LeBron doesn't spend all that much time in L.A. Where would he sell that car, John?
Well, give me the VIN.com. John Clay Wolf will go pick it up in L.A. Oh, he will. Give me the VIN.com. That's give me the VIN.com. Nobody does it better than John Clay Wolf as far as buying cars. And he won't sell you a car either, okay? See, that's where the dealerships get you, is they are selling you a car. So their lure is this, oh, we'll take it off. We'll take this off the new car, but we can only give you this for your trade-in. So they were going to take it off of the new car anyway. They just want to screw you on the trade-in because they put it on the lot, and that's where they make a lot of their money, is the resale of used cars. That's where they get you. So you say this, well, give me that off on that new car, but I'm going to sell this car to GiveMeTheVIN.com because he's going to give me top dollar, and he's guaranteeing it. And he'll do the deal through your dealership. So all the taxes and everything else is just one big – it's the same. So get the most for your car and spend as little as you possibly can on that new car. And how you do that? GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com.